The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com. Call Midas today to protect your future at 1-800-686-2237.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Of course, some people think I'm so old. I was actually around when the railroad employee was carrying that lantern.
Yeah. Well, here's one for you, Robert. We have a question about your background. Have you ever had a government job? And if so, what did you do with the government?
They think I must be an information agent. I hear that quite often.
Well, let's just have a reality check here. I understand that our guest moderator, co-host from last week's episode, Gogs Mackay, did work with the British Navy in intelligence work, and we didn't have any suspicions of him. So with that in mind, Robert, you may continue.
Yeah, no, I've never worked directly for the government. I have worked on some government contracts in computer companies. Some of them had some military applications, but I've never had anything to do with anything vaguely involving UFOs or the paranormal or anything like that.
Well, that's good to know. And even if you did, you'd have to kill us before you tell us, right? Or
right.
After you told us.
Although we should
point. Then he has to get in line.
Yeah. Although we should point out that, you know, James Oberg and James McGahey both are retired Air Force officers who have worked in intelligence, although they say they had nothing to do with UFOs, some little things like space program and nuclear weapons and things like that, but not UFOs. But, you know, who knows? Maybe I don't think so.
Yeah. Again, maybe they're disallowed to say anything about it. Well, one thing that's always been a curious thing for me, having done quite a bit of investigative work in the San Luis Valley, which is in south central Colorado, and it's on the western edge of the La Vida low-level military flight operations area and training ground. And I must say that I've seen the Air Force trot out conventional craft and light them up like Christmas trees for no apparent reason. Then the assumption would be to see if people report them as UFOs. Now, what do you think about the government using the UFO subject to create possible psychological weapons programs or some sort of manipulation of an unsuspecting public? Do you believe that this type of activity occurs? And if so, what are your thoughts about it?
No, I don't think it occurs. Again, I can't prove that it doesn't occur. Let me just say that we're talking about the San Luis Valley here in Colorado. I went to the UFO watchtower and stayed there one night. And, it's an interesting place out there. When you look at the lights in the distance, that valley floor is extremely flat. And you see lights in the distance, and I guess if you go in there with the mindset that they look spooky, you can convince yourself that they're spooky. But again, I think it's just
The temperature inversions and those sorts of things. Most of the longtime residents there are very aware of those things. It's only the tourists coming in there with sparkles in their eyes that want to have an unusual experience. And believe me, I think the watchtower is set at a good spot, but I think that the people that tend to go there have already made up in their minds that they're going to have a high strange experience, which is supported by the psychology of wannabeism, as I would, call it. But the reason why I asked that prior question was a simple one. I was traveling late at night on Highway 17, which is the road that watchtower is located off of. I saw a row of brilliant blinking lights. There were probably a couple of dozen of them arrayed in a straight line flying across from north to south. I immediately slammed on my brakes, grabbed my night vision binoculars, and stopped. Was able to ascertain, I think, fairly accurately that they were within 5 miles from me. And I was able to see and hear the sound of cargo planes flying in formation, and it appeared that the lights had been sequenced along the leading edge of all three airplanes is sequenced in such a way that they were perfectly timed to make it look like an object several hundred feet across flying.
Sequenced in the sense like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that sort of thing?
Well, sequenced all the way from the, there were three airplanes flying wingtip to wingtip, and it would go from the extreme left planes, extreme left wingtip, all the way across the leading edge of all three planes to the extreme right wing on the right plane, and then do that again, like a row of brilliantly flashing lights that were flashing in sequence.
Yeah, I think what you're describing may be a training mission for night refueling, that they have these sequenced lights that is supposed to help the pilot to line up with the, you know, to get the fuel tank into the boom that's coming down from the other plane.
Yeah, but it was on the leading edge, not the trailing edge of the... Plus, it was quite low altitude, I must say. It was very, very low altitude, and they were not in a MTR. They were outside of the operations area. They were flying down the center of the valley, which is not considered part of the military flight arrangement there. It just seemed very strange to me, and if I had been any further away and not been able to hear the engines and not be able to see these things under night vision, I would have seen a UFO.
Yeah. The important thing is you did recognize that they were airplanes. And
correct. So
we can agree that airplanes were, they were from this planet. And then the only question is really, why were they doing this funny thing? And I don't know that. I know that James McGahey has had more experience in this sort of thing and knows it better because of the time he was in the Air Force and he was a pilot for many years. And so he has talked, I know he's talked about these military refueling operations that are, you know, they have to practice these things. So I can't say that as a certainty, but I think we can both agree that these were airplanes. Now, getting back to what you said about the night vision, let me suggest this. I know that a lot of people are using these night vision devices to try to see UFOs or to try to see more details and things. Astronomers don't use them. Amateur and professional astronomers will use just an ordinary binocular instead. If you really want to see good details, get yourself a good quality pair of optical binoculars rather than...
I do. I have a very good pair that are actually designed for naval observers.
Right. That's what you want to use because the night vision thing, what it does is it trades sensitivity for resolution. In other words, it boosts sensitivity. You see very faint objects, but you lose details because of the way they operate. You'll see often just a big white blur or blob, and often it'll appear to be changing size and whatever. It's not changing size.
Correct. Yeah, it's a toolbox. We all have our tools, and we need to know how to properly utilize them, and I agree with you on that.
I'm just saying that from the standpoint of somebody who wants to identify an object or a light seen in the sky, I don't see a night vision. You'll find if you go to any star party, if you go to any place where, you know, advanced amateur astronomers and observers are gathered, nobody is using those things.
Right. Well, they use them on TV shows, of course.
Yeah, because they look neat on TV shows. That's what they're for.
I wanted to ask you briefly here, because we opened a very large thread in our forums as a result of the initial reviews of this Hangar One TV show, which apparently is sponsored or otherwise affiliated with MUFON.
Yes.
Right. Now, that's kind of typical, though, Robert, of TV shows in general. And even people who I think who are interested in UFOs accept that there are some sightings that are unexplained, might have an ET or other unknown explanation. They don't like those shows either. But this had to be one of the worst, right?
Yeah, I would think so. And it's funny, every time the last couple of years when something like this came along, when Chasing UFOs first came along, what, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, whatever it was, and I wrote, and I know a lot of people said, this is the worst. This is the worst we've ever seen as far as, you know, just a trashy, sensationalist UFO show, over-dramatizing. Oh, no, there's something coming. Oh, there's a leopard coming. Let's jump back in the car just as they see an object in the sky. Oh, no, here comes a wild animal. Let's run. But that record, as it were, for badness didn't stay very long. Then along came this thing earlier this year. It started out at Discovery Canada. And what were they calling them, encounters or something like that. And then that was even worse than Chasing UFOs. And then that appeared a couple months later on the U.S. TV. Then we said that is even worse than chasing UFOs. Then along comes Hangar One.
Let's get the review of Hangar One, our next segment. So we have Robert Shayford with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number 2, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. In no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Hello, it's Tom Chenault from The Tom Chenault Show. We are experts in home-based business and residual income. We show people how to make money from their home, either part-time or full-time. And in partnership with Genesis Communication Network, we've organized a team to fight back about people not having money, time, or health. And we need your help. What we want you to do is, if you've got an interest in building an organization to fight back against people taking our money, taking our time, and taking our health, we want to talk to you. All you need to do is call this number, 855-308-8326. Again, all you want to do is call 855-308-8326. You can make a tremendous amount of money and end up fighting for a great cause. Please call us right now.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, now understand here, let's just be honest about it, Robert Shayford. Two of the co-hosts of Chasing UFOs also said it was a bad program.
Yes, which is a pretty remarkable thing to have.
Okay, so we've got two bad shows, and now three's a crowd because Hangar One premieres. You wrote a review of it, Robert Schaefer.
I only watched the first episode. I don't have that cable channel, but it was so bad you could see everything you need to see there. Other people have written about the later episodes. Apparently they're giving us stuff like Dwight Eisenhower met with aliens at Edwards Air Force Base, you know, those old chestnuts that have been around for so long without any proof. They appear to even have made documents up, make them appear to be government documents about UFOs, when in fact they're quotes from books by Stanton Friedman or something that, you know, made up to look like a government document. It's really pretty bad. And for MUFON to put its name on that basically means that the MUFON has lost all credibility as far as trying to be a scientific organization. They claim to be following a scientific method, but you never know it from this sort of thing. Now, who's going to be the next even worse UFO show? It's going to be tough to beat that one.
Does anyone know if that show's gaining any ratings? Has it been renewed? What's the status?
I don't know. I would imagine they're getting pretty good ratings, but I don't know that for sure.
Well, the True Believer crowd is, they're Jell-O slurping that up like there's no tomorrow, I'm sure.
Jell-O slurping.
Well,
that must be a very old crowd then.
Well, that's way beyond Kool-Aid drinking. It's now Jell-O slurping.
Yeah.
It kind of tickles my innards, right?
I'm not going to touch that one, Gene.
Thank you.
But I think
we have some more questions here, Robert, if you'd like, from our posters at forum.theparacast.com. SRL has another question for you, and he's wondering if you've looked into the aerial school incident in Rua, Zimbabwe in 1994, and John Mack's work with that and others who have subsequently gone back, interviewed the kids. I know James Fox has gone back recently for his 701 movie project with Tracy Torme. What do you think those kids saw?
I really haven't looked into it that much. I did hear a talk. There was talk somebody gave at one of the UFO congresses about 2 years ago or something like that. And I would have to say I don't really know enough about it. As I understand it, only the children saw something and none of the teachers, none of the adults saw anything. The interesting question is, you know, could this be something that the children made up or that they, you know, wanted to play a trick on their teachers? Or could it be somebody was playing a trick on the children? I mean, I just don't really know enough about it.
Yeah. We're getting into veracity questions here again.
Yeah, witness questions. And again, the bottom line is we don't have any tangible evidence from this. We just have what people are saying. And again, the Royal Society would say, take nobody's word for it. So.
Right.
Would exclude that from scientific consideration for that reason.
Okay. Well, what do you think about the idea of the breakaway civilization? There's even a conference now I see being advertised with Joseph Farrell, Richard Dolan, and others who have been sort of musing and proposing this idea that we have a breakaway civilization that has a exotic level of technology that's hidden from the average person, and that we have made great stride with some sort of secret space program, for instance. Do you think that this is even plausible, number one? And number two, if it is plausible, how could you keep something like that secret?
Well, yeah, I think you've answered the question yourself there and just in asking it. I'm not sure what they mean by breakaway. They mean like it's a secret space program, or are they talking about something like the Shaver mystery and holes in the poles and Daryl robots under the ground?
No, I think it's more of a level of technology that's been advanced far beyond public awareness of state-of-the-art technology, and it's being used by the military-industrial complex elite and the one percenters to enact some sort of program that the rank and file, the 99%, are not going to be told of. I don't think it has to do with anything I don't want to use the word preposterous, but I think it's more of a technological thing. It kind of boils down to the Gary McKinnon claim of 160 off-planet naval officers, that sort of thing. There's little hints here and there in the literature that there may be some sort of exalted technology development program that's quite a bit ahead of, you know, the acknowledged technological curve.
Technology follows science. It doesn't precede it. So science breakthroughs have to come first, and then technological breakthroughs can follow behind on the science in that. So the question is, what scientific breakthroughs could have occurred in secret and not tell anyone about it, and then go ahead and build a whole new technology or secret space program based on these technologies, based on these findings? I don't find that credible at all. If you've ever spent any time in, you know, like science departments in any universities, these people are the worst people in the world as far as keeping something secret, you know, as far as sharing and as far as whispering rumors and whatever. They go pretty fast. Anytime that there's a rumored breakthrough in some discovery in atomic physics or something like that, we always hear, you know, the rumors coming through weeks or months before the paper gets published. So certainly, if there were some, let's hypothetically say, some advanced type of rocket propulsion, some advanced chemicals or something that the public don't know about, there would be a whole paper trail of, you know, scientific discoveries, of papers, of conferences and things like this. Maybe people wouldn't be admitted to the conference, but it'd be pretty hard to hide the fact that the conference was occurring and that all these, you know, important scientists were there. Like I said, these are the worst people in the world at, you know, at keeping things like that secret. They would say, probably some large number of them would say that, you know, this is too important to keep secret. So I just don't think it could be done at all.
Yeah, Joseph Farrell brought up in a number of his books the whole idea of the Nazis developing, I think, what has been termed aether physics, a second branch of physics to relativity, and that these types of early experiments may have been co-opted by the Allies at the end of the war and then secretly developed. That's one theory. It involves red mercury. And some pretty interesting documentation that Farrell has dug up. He's quite a researcher in his own right, you know, Oxford trained. That would be one example of what could be termed as a breakaway technology, shall we say.
The Nazis didn't like relativity because they called it Jewish physics, because Einstein was Jewish. And so then they wanted their own form of Aryan physics that would be superior, because the Aryan race was superior to the Jewish race, and so their physics would be better. It's true that many of them believe this, and they actually did state things like that, but it was nonsense. It was, you know, based on nothing. It's just, their political racist theories that's based on, that's all. Nobody's ever shown that anything ever came of this. And as far as red mercury, I've heard the claims. I don't know what red mercury would be or what it supposedly would do. Then there's the Nazi bell, supposedly. This stuff seems to have actually been made up quite a bit later than the war. This doesn't go back to the war or the aftermath of the war. It goes up to instead, you know, it's a more recent origin. So, you know, I haven't seen anything that suggested any of the so-called breakaway physics might be true.
Okay.
We got more to come with Robert Schaefer and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Find out how to stop Big Brother in his tracks at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids. I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again. I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen.
a total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now, I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, UFO skeptic Robert Schaefer, I remind you again, we have a free ebook for you. Chris O'Brien's Secrets of the Mysterious Valley in ebook form. And you can get a copy. Very simple. Go to theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. And right above the fold, we have this link where you can subscribe to our weekly newsletter of news and views and such. You subscribe, we'll send you a copy. Chris?
Okay, SRL has a very interesting question here, and I'm looking forward to your response to it. He wants to know what you think about the research of aerial anomalies being conducted through NARCAP, which is, Ted Rowe and Richard Haynes.
Yeah, Richard Haynes. I've met Richard Haynes a few times, not recently. Well, again, it's something of a mixed bag. I mean, I'm sure some of it is good. I'm thinking.
Well, wait a minute. When you say some of it is good, are you talking these pilots are seeing true unknowns
that cannot
be explained?
Some of their analysis might be good. Some of it, but just because, you know, you've tried to rule out one thing doesn't mean that, you know, it's not something else. The one thing that comes to my mind was, though, in the last year or so, Leslie Kane and her fly UFO, you know, this thing in Chile where she said, is this the case that UFO skeptics have been dreading? And then she has the video that was submitted by somebody at this air show.
Oh, right.
In Chile. And it shows the airplanes flying by, and then it shows something else going by very quickly, going to businesses. Well, I'm adding the soundtrack there, but yeah, basically bugs.
Yeah.
She was convinced it couldn't be bugs. And finally, she kind of got herself out, you know, went way out beyond where, you know, one could reliably defend what one was saying. And so she was looking for some sort of support or some sort of, you know, basically to.
Well, again, that you can't take that particular questionable claim and use that to discount all the incredible, very well documented cases in her book. There are some.
That's a separate issue. The reason I bring it up is because of NARCAP and Haynes. Ultimately, she got two analyses of the fly UFO video, one from Bruce McAbee, who said it was an insect, and then the other one was from Haynes, who said, no, it can't be an insect. It's beyond physics. It's, you know, and beyond anything that, you know, we have knowledge of. So she pronounced the case to be, you know, unsolvable. To me, anybody who says that what is obviously photograph of a video of insects going around, that this is something that's, you know, beyond science, I think one has to really question their analyses there, especially since we have now turned up any number of subsequent fly UFO videos that are making the rounds. There was one big thing in Denver recently where there was a hill somewhere out in the toward the suburbs where people...
Oh, right, with the objects entering and leaving the ground.
And stuff. So, I mean, if NARCAP would pronounce that to be something that's unexplainable, then I think I would have a serious problem with their analyses.
Well, don't you think we're going into a time period where the pop culture, TV-driven views of these mysteries are being embraced by untrained, uneducated folks, possibly leading them to conclusions that they've already kind of made up in their own mind? Don't you see this as being really problematic as we move forward in the 21st century with the CGI hoaxes and some of these websites that are being touted as, you know, they're touting themselves as having the best UFO footage? I mean, how are we going to put the kibosh on the time-wasting stuff and concentrate on the 5, 6, maybe 7% of sightings that deserve real serious scientific scrutiny?
Well, yes, I agree with what you're saying there. And in fact, it's going back to what I was saying earlier about phases and things in terms of ufology. What's hot for a while and then what's hot becomes cold. We have not developed anything to be hot in the sense of probative beyond the saucer crash claims. I guess you could try to argue that this breakaway technology and the Nazi Bell and whatever else is maybe a new direction for it, but I don't see that there's much there. There really isn't that much to look at. In your last Paracast with the with Micah Hanks, and he was talking about, he mentioned my name fairly early on, and then he went off and said that all these skeptical bloggers are talking about the death of ufology and its ending. Well, first of all, there aren't that many skeptical bloggers writing about UFOs. I think I'm one of the very few, especially in this country.
Yeah, they don't want to get slimed.
Right. Maybe that's it. But that article that whoever it was that wrote about how he went to the MUFON conference and said that ufology is ending, I don't agree that it's ending. But I do agree that it's changing. As I said before, that, you know, there are trends, there are fads. The fads get hot and then they get cold after a while. I think that the old paradigm that represents, that MUFON represents, is getting cold and is failing to have a lot of people following it. That is the old MUFON. Now, the new MUFON, as in Hangar 1, is alive and well, and it's very little different from Damsky or anything else that went before, where just a small amount of investigation will show that this is absolute rubbish. It is problematic, and I think it's mostly the younger folks who are promoting this and who are the audience for this, and they don't know what's gone before. They don't realize the claims that have been made before that have either been refuted or have shown to basically to lead nowhere. If, you know, certain, you know, types of sightings or certain locations or something, if there were something miraculous that were really happening, let's say in the San Luis Valley, claims go back far enough that, you know, we would have found it by now. There'd be enough people out there at that UFO watchtower who would have cameras and whatever. If there wasn't really anything going on, you know, we'd have the evidence of it by now. And that's not
happening. We'll see, Robert, when I get my San Luis Valley surveillance camera project up. We'll see what we come up with.
Well, let me just add something here about the MUFON event. 400 people attended, according to New York Magazine. Now, Chris and I mentioned this last week, although there was some dispute as to the attendance, this Contact in the Desert event. Now, Chris, you said 2,000. Someone else said 4,000. So certainly some people are attending these conventions, although I should point out as a reality check, the San Diego Comic-Con attracting a wide range of people they got 130,000.
Yes, and I was
wondering. But we never had a UFO convention that big.
No, there were 70,000 watching at Fatima. What do you think of all those people and what they saw? That's another question from our forum posters.
Anytime you stare up at the sun, you're going to start to burn images in your retina, either permanently or temporarily, depending on how long you stare and how bright the sun was at that time, how many clouds. You also have to say that of those 70,000 people, probably almost all of them were very devout Catholics with certain expectations and with certain, there was an agenda there. This was not an unbiased sky watch, so to speak. They went there hoping to see a miracle. And
by God, they got one.
By God, they got one. And also, I wonder how many, if you could, going back to what we said about the earliest reports are the best, I don't know if anybody got reports, like on the very same day, the very same time, before stuff was published and people had a chance to talk to each other to kind of smooth out the differences. I think it's just a case of mass hysteria. People have some very strong feelings and strong religious expectations, and by God, they're going to see a miracle, whether there is one or not.
Blind will see and the crippled will walk.
Yeah, exactly. But that's interesting. I don't know if they had 2,000 to 4,000 out there. I can't imagine where those people stayed. Did they stay in tents out there in the desert?
Yeah, it was pretty messy. All the porta-cans filled up and overflowed. They lost power. There wasn't enough water. It sounds like a real nightmare to me.
Yeah, it does, because I think that convention center, what did they say? They had a couple hundred facilities for a couple hundred people to stay there.
Where's the fire marshal when you really need him?
Yeah, especially with certain speakers locking the doors. That was last year, I guess.
Well, we won't even ask you what
some of the videos that are out there, and it's obvious these are the sort of the new age type. These were not the MUFON type people. That's a whole different thing.
We have another different thing to present here. We have Robert Schaefer joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
A sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark as ominous clouds move in and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky. And you realize you are not prepared.
I'm telling you, take cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day. Take them camping or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
Summertime is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know summer is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for summer specials, including all sizes of colloidal silver, colloidal minerals, and intestinal freedom on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, and Metabolic Complex and Pro-Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Wormwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and look for summer specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, I should say, Robert Schaefer, I'm down on most UFO conferences because they seem to attract the same people. Unfortunately, tend to attract an older demographic, like mine.
Yeah.
So I think if forgetting the questions of the reality of UFOs or non-reality, I think that entire paradigm doesn't work in the traditional sense, just having people get up and speak. You've got to have entertainment now. That's why like a Comic-Con works, because it's not just, you know, having a lecturer get up and speak with a bunch of slides. My God, there's Henry Cavill's Superman and Ben Affleck as Batman and the new Wonder Woman. They can see these people in person. They participate in panels. They try to make it entertaining. Right. I think that's lost on the UFO crowd. Accepting the reality or non-reality is irrelevant. They still have to attract an audience.
Right. And the people bring their own entertainment to a thing like Comic-Con with their costumes and not just costumes, but with little improv acts and things like that are very common there. So based on just only the videos that I was watching the last few days about this contact in the desert, I think it tends to be a younger crowd, tends to be much more oriented towards New Age, towards contactee, towards more of a personal relationship with the extraterrestrials, with the phenomenon. If you go back to the old school, Major Kehoe, when we were kids, you and I, Gene, us oldsters, back in the 1950s and 60s, what do UFOs represent, or should we say, who represents UFOs or flying saucers? Well, it's somebody like Major Kehoe, it's NICAP, it's Dick Hall, people like this, okay? And now that's not the case. It's gone through, you know, these hot and cold phases, and now we're on to more. It's just the wild
evangelicals. Stuff.
Evangelicals, yes. The whole thing about the contact or the abductees, it started out as, you know, a few people who were out and frightened and fooled themselves about, you know, what might or might not have happened out in the wilderness. But then once you get to Bud Hopkins in the early 80s, you no longer need to go out into the desert or even in your backyard to see extraterrestrials. The extraterrestrials will come right into your bedroom and take you. And then you talk about repeated abductions. And so it's very much a personal relationship with the phenomenon that these people are claiming. And that really seems to be where the whole thing is going. Nobody cares about the old Major Kehoe type of reported phenomenon, which is, I got a rumor from an Air Force pilot that he chased something that went 10 times the speed of sound and made a right angle turn.
Yeah, but Kehoe didn't say rumor. He would quote people saying, I got this report, not a rumor. So let's just kind of clarify that, regardless of what you think about what's going on. But even then, regardless of what you think here, obviously a lot of people are continuing to report UFO sightings. A lot of these sightings seem to have some sense of being lights in the sky. Most of the photos you see are lights in the sky. When you see photos that have more specific details, you're going to say basically either that's conventional aircraft or they're fakes?
Well, it would depend on what the photos are. It depend on when they were taken. If they were older, or if they were recent new photos, I would say they're very likely created. Some of them are created by apps and by CGI and by various other things that, you know, nowadays it's very easy for experienced, sophisticated people to create very impressive-looking photos and videos. If we're talking about photos from the 1950s and the 1960s, well, it depends, again, on what it shows. There are a lot of, now we talk about blurfos, some people do, which would also take in most of these insect UFOs and,
well, and also birds too. I think get photographed when their wings are folded up.
Exactly. And those are blurfos, and it could be almost anything. If it's a really clear structured craft like McMinnville appears to be, Paul Trent, 1950. Okay, this was not done with any sophisticated computer enhancement because nobody had computers back then. So that rules that out. But was it a model that was strung on the telephone wire, something like a truck mirror or whatever, or was it a real UFO? And people can disagree. I think there's a lot of reasons to think that it was a small model of some kind, and the late Joel Carpenter had a very good explanation of that on his website, and people have, for some reason, he took it down, not because I don't think anything having to do with the CIA or whatever, but apparently certain ufologists who were friends of his said, why don't you take that down? And he did. At least that's what I heard. I can't say for sure it's true, although it's still out there. On the, he used a Wayback Machine. He showed how, you know, Farmer Trent could have easily done this using an old truck mirror, like from a 1930s truck, and just strung it on like a fishing line over the wire and gotten a few pictures. So, yeah, it appears to be a structured craft, but, you know, how big is it? Is it, you know, way out there and huge, or is it nearby and it's only about 6 inches across?
Yeah, but wouldn't you be able to, with proper photo analysis, tell the difference between something that's 6 inches across and something that is really huge and far away?
Well, not necessarily. That's what they tried to do with the Condon Report, William K. Hartman. He said, well, he didn't say it was distant. He said it was consistent with the idea of being distant because of the reflectivity, the brightness of the underside appeared to be brighter than the underside of the nearby oil tank. And so, therefore, it would suggest atmospheric scattering, which would suggest a distant object. However, there are other factors that were not taken into account. Well, I suggested that what they call veiling glare, in other words, that light spills over from, if you have a dark object against a bright background, some of the light from the bright background spills over into the object, the dark object, and makes it look brighter than it should. Whereas the oil tank down at the bottom of the picture didn't have that. Well, that could be analyzed as this. He says, well, there was veiling glare, but it wasn't enough to make this effect. And Joel Carpenter, by suggesting a truck mirror, that invalidates one of the assumptions underneath that the Condon Report made, which was that it was an object. It was a dark, you know, it was an object in the shade. If it's a mirror, then it's a object that's reflecting the bright ground underneath, and so that makes it brighter than a shaded object would be. At object that was shaded from the sunlight, it's reflecting the sunlight on the ground because it's a mirror.
All right, you basically think that Dr. Maccabee was wrong.
I didn't say he was wrong about that particular aspect, though. He thinks, yeah, it's an unknown object. I think what he said about the veiling glare was correct, but it only goes so far. That this whole if you read the Hartman analysis, he made certain assumptions, and if his assumptions are correct, and if the veiling glare isn't very much, then that would tend to suggest it's a large object. However, Joel Carpenter showed that at least one of those assumptions appears to be not correct, and then the whole analysis is invalidated.
Well, you know, we can go on and on here and point
to
things.
Yeah, this has been fun. Thanks for being on the show, Robert.
Well, I've enjoyed it. It's good, and it's always good to hear these different theories and talk about them.
We will never agree unless the flying saucer lands in your backyard. In fact, I'm hoping that if ET is here, that they land in your backyard first. I'm sure they'll know where you live because it's ET, therefore.
They know everything. They can read minds.
Okay. Robert Schaefer, please tell our listeners where they can find more of your stuff.
Well, if you look at my blog, badufos.com, I try to keep up to date on the latest and greatest claims and such. I also have some of the older material on debunker.com, which is not just UFOs, but other subjects as well. And so between those, and then, of course, I have my latest book is Psychic Vibrations, which is from the column that I write in Skeptical Inquirer each issue. So that's where to find it.
We'll be looking for you. By the way, you can get a free copy of Chris O'Brien's Secrets of the Mysterious Valley, the ebook version. Go to theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter, and we'll get your copy out to you. Chris O'Brien's site is ourstrangeplanet.com. If you buy a copy of his book, Stalking the Herd, the printed copy, he'll sign and number it if you order it from him. On Twitter, we're the Paracast. There's also a Paracast fan club on Facebook. Robert Schaefer, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you, Gene. It's been fun.
So listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen, because I think there was a big contradiction in what Robert Schaefer said on this week's episode. We'll talk about it next week.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
UnseenNow.com, proud sponsor of GCN. UnseenNow's unparalleled encryption tools keep your communications secure. GCN.
Do good people ever want to call an attorney just to find out if they're right or wrong? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what are you forced to think about first? Money. If you could call as often as you wanted and talk as long as you need without a bill, would you call? Worry less and live more with LSProtection.com. That's LSProtection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.